Thanks very much. I thought it's a good thing the podium's over here, because I was described as being on the far right by David at the beginning. Maybe compared to Thomas, I am. I don't know, but I don't think to all the panel. This is actually the reason I dashed in just before we kicked off is this is actually my second speaking engagement of the day. I was at the University of Bedfordshire this morning, and they gave me a bottle of vintage champagne after I spoke, so I have high hopes for what happens after this. If I could, I don't know, I run a think tank, so I know what these things are really like. I would just respond to one thing Rachel said. Of course you want free education. I want free childcare for my children. I want free food. I want free housing. But we have to live in the real world. When I was at university, someone changed their name to Free Beer and got elected to the student union on that basis, which I think tells us something, but I'm not sure it moves the debate on all that further. Thank you very much for inviting me. I have written for Policy Exchange on social policy before, but I've never come to speak to education about education for Policy Exchange. It's a great pleasure to be here. I had a printing problem, so I'm reading it off my phone, I'm afraid. And it's actually... now, the conference is looking at what policies the party should put to the country in the next general election, and I'm going to define three. My organisation, the Higher Education Policy Institute, despite my background as a special advisor to the current universities minister, my organisation, HEPI, is scrupulously independent and non-partisan. But I'm going to try and keep to the essay question. I'm going to try and come up with three policies which do overlap a bit with what's already been said, but which actually Policy Exchange as an organisation, as a centre-right think tank, might think about supporting too. I think you're brave to ask the question. I'm with Robert Jackson, the former Higher Education Minister. I don't think higher education does swing elections, and I say that as someone who stood in 2010 in a university city for the Conservative Party in Cambridge, two universities there, plus a big outpost of the Open University. But even there, the local newspaper was far more interested in my adoption of Tinkerbell, my little black rescue cat from the local Blue Cross, and some puns I made about the cost of spending a penny in Cambridge in some incredibly expensive local and underused public loos, or indeed the fact that one of my campaigners was ketchuped while they were out campaigning, than anything I said on higher education. And it wasn't for want of trying. I actually gatecrashed the meeting in Cambridge where Nick Clegg signed the NUS pledge. It was a closed Lib Dem meeting. I gatecrashed that and asked Nick Clegg a question, but it didn't get any coverage at all. I did, I think, win one vote on the doorstep by knowing what the REF, the Research Excellence Framework, was by an English literature lecturer, but I lost by 7,000 votes, so it didn't do me much much good. Now, even though I think even some of his worst enemies, I don't know about some of the people on the platform, but will tell you in private that my former boss, David Willetts, the current Universities and Science Minister, has been a successful minister since 2010. In particular, he's avoided some of the errors that the previous Conservative government did. I went to university in 1990 after 15 years of a falling unit of resource, i.e. the amount of money spent on each student. I've got to say the educational experience I had was woeful. I had a great time, but it was not a great academic experience. And that was because there had been 15 years of cuts beforehand. And whatever you think about the current funding reforms, it does mean universities are relatively well funded. But I agree with the people on the panel who've said there's a regulatory problem. We have students going to university paying £9,000, some of whom don't even have access to the office in the independent office of the independent adjudicator, the complaints body. I've written a whole pamphlet on why we need legislation, and I think it is the title of the pamphlet is Unfinished Business, and it is unfinished business, but it won't come up on the doorstep, I don't think. Secondly, again, it's not a particularly original thought, the student migration issue needs tackling. The government is frankly wrong. It's wrong for economic reasons, it's wrong for social reasons, it's wrong for educational reasons, in my view. I don't think members of the public see student migrants the same as other migrants. And I also think it's perverse, because I think we have some of the most right-wing members of the current cabinet repudiating Margaret Thatcher's free market reform, which was to cut the taxpayer subsidy to international students. The minute the taxpayer subsidy for international students went, they became a very attractive proposition because they weren't a cost. They were an export industry, if you like. We're better at education than we are even at building cars, and we don't put limits on how many cars we can export, and I don't think we should put limits on how many international students we bring here. And of course, it's not just an economic argument. I appreciate that. Thirdly, I just want to focus a little bit on student representation. These days, Jack Straw is an elder statesman, but when he was a firebrand student leader back in the late 1960s, he changed the constitution of the National Union of Students. And previously, the NUS had been limited by its constitution so that it could only discuss issues of importance, direct importance to students and their experience on campus. Afterwards, after they changed the constitution, they could take on any issue they liked, and they gradually became, I would argue, less and less representative of all students. Today's NUS leaders are as talented and as hardworking as you would expect the future leadership of the Labour Party to be, and we heard that from Rachel this morning, and I have nothing but respect for Rachel. She's spoken at three of our happy events recently fantastically. But the question is whether as a closed shop union, which is what it is serving the interests of all its members by having such a breadth of interests. Of course, students should and can and do protest about all range of issues across the world, but whether with being the sort of union the way it is set up, it should be more HE focused, I think is an interesting question when students are now quite powerful consumers, but of course more, not just consumers, but they are consumers. Finally, fees and funding. My bet, and we maybe want to discuss this afterwards, my bet is the fees and funding regime won't change all that significantly, and I certainly don't think we'll have a graduate tax whoever wins the next general election. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Just to respond quickly to Mark, you're quite right that Labour haven't